This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They already knew that even though the stuff in the media did not have them on the list, they were in a good spot. This is, though, where it's tricky because his agent, Rich Paul, also reps LeBron, and there's certainly a ton of people who feel like he has been trying to make sure the Lakers are at the top of that list. And if you're going to have the Lakers at the top, and then Boston, for those purposes, needed to not have pole position by any means, if that makes sense. So it is kind of interesting and fascinating to see it all play out in public here.
What does this do, Sam, to New Orleans in that market? It's another small market team losing a big-time star, and they fire their GM now. I mean, I just empathize with the fan base down there. I know it's not a huge fan base, but you just think about what the future of the Pelicans holds now. And if I was a season ticket holder, I don't know if I'm hitting that renew button next year. What a tough spot for that fan base and that franchise to be in.
No, absolutely. And I mean, you have business implications here. Like you said, Ryan, if you're trying to sell season ticket packages, I think that was one of the few arguments for why they should have done the AD trade before the trade deadline, because when it comes to selling your product, you can then pivot and tell your fans, okay, we wish this didn't turn out the way it turned out, but here's the young crop that we got in exchange for AD. We got these draft picks coming down the line, and you can turn over a new leaf instead of, they're just kind of slowly pulling the Band-Aid off like they are right now. And we're seeing how awkward and how uncomfortable that is. I mean, the other night, that game in New Orleans against Oklahoma City was just something else to watch, again, from a distance. But, AD leaves in the third quarter to go get an MRI on that shoulder that he hurt in the second quarter. The optics were terrible. Rich Paul leaving with him before the game is over. The Pelicans owner, Gail Benson, I know, was furious and didn't understand why he was leaving. So it's just, this is what happens when the trust evaporates, when, the people under the same roof are no longer on the same side. You know what I mean? And that's just a reality. And I don't know how it's going to look for the next few months. I know AD said today that he was planning on playing for the rest of the season. I was told yesterday from both sides, his people and the Pelicans, there has not been any decision about how to handle his playing time. And this kind of in between, where he plays a little bit and then doesn't play in the fourth quarter, I think is, going halfway is a terrible look.
Yeah, and Sam, that's kind of my follow-up for you is just where does it all go from here? Because you had the league, step in and warn the Pelicans, look, you can't healthy scratch this guy, for the rest of the year, even though obviously he'd be getting paid because that's a violation, and we're going to fine you $100,000 a game if we find out you're doing that. But yet you've got this situation where Anthony Davis has basically wrecked their season. Del Demps winds up fired. Alvin Gentry's probably going to be out the door, April 15th. And it's just, how do you finish the year? I mean, I felt bad for Alvin the other night having to answer questions about what was going on with Davis after the rest of those guys actually got a decent win that, doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But for him, it was important.
Right. Right. And I feel for him too. I mean, listen, Alvin, even if he was on the line right now, he'd laugh and say, listen, guys, I got a good contract. I got paid a lot of money to deal with this stuff, but it's just not comfortable. And since we're in the Bay talking to the Warriors audience, I tell you, I always think back to that moment when the Warriors won the championship in 2015 and Alvin looks into the camera. We already knew he was the Pelicans head coach. And he says, all right, AD, this is us next year. It's like these grand visions of what the Pelicans were going to be with Anthony Davis never came to fruition. And now, how does it look, John? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I think one key factor to remember that we're going to have to wait and see how it plays in is what does AD want? He sounded today like he wanted to play on the court in games for the rest of the season, because the players union had told me yesterday that if you sit here and talk about some of these other players who got shelved, in much the same way that maybe the Pelicans would think about doing, like Zach Randolph, Chandler Parsons, Carmelo Anthony, one thing that gets overlooked is that my understanding is, like, those particular players didn't complain to the union, didn't essentially start any sort of campaign to kind of force their way back onto the floor. That seems to be different from AD, because if he in fact wants to play, and then if the Pelicans in fact try to keep him from playing, that's where this could get even uglier, because 100% the union is going to back the player. If AD wants to play, they won't let him, then the union's going to get involved, and you might even have legalities. And yes, you know, we're talking in hypotheticals, but it feels like we're not that far potentially from that kind of a situation.
Sam, I want to ask you a little bit about the officiating, and it seems like this topic is just never ending. Players constantly feeling like, you know, the fan base is feeling like the refs are out to get them, and they're not being officiated fairly. Draymond referenced it again. I know they had the referee roundtable with Michelle Johnson and Byron Spurrell, and of course Monty McCutcheon. Do we just make too much of this? Because the way I look at it is everybody feels like they're getting hosed. So I think it all kind of evens out in the end. And it just seems like an easy blame to just put it on the officials. I think not just in the NBA, but in sports, we just make too much of the officiating in general.
Yeah, that's fair, Ryan. I think, you know, I give the NBA credit for how they have really aggressively tried to kind of upgrade their program. I mean, if you hit the rewind button 5 or 10 years even, I think if you pulled the curtain back and really saw how things worked comparing then to now, it's really night and day. And, you know, so in that regard, the level of noise about how terrible they are, I think, is off base. I think, you know, I'd probably argue they're better than ever. But you have a couple things that come into mind for me. The players with more power, more voice than ever before. Part of that is economic.
Sure.
You got guys out there making $35 million. And coaches making $4 to $5 million, I think that's going to empower any human being. You know what I mean?
Good point.
And then you have, I think, a change in style when it comes to, you know, the Joey Crawford way of doing things, refereeing wise. You know, if you don't remember the listeners, you know, you got the old head who was just a hard, you know what, always screaming at everybody, always acting like he was the principal at the school, and that aspect of that style, I guess, doesn't really fly anymore. So. A lot of the stuff the players and the refs last couple of years has been more personal than it has been about the program, I think. But they're going in a good direction. The Monty McCutcheon move was, I think, really, really smart, because you put a widely respected ref who's not like a put-out-to-pasture official. He's a guy in his prime that you took off the floor, put him in the NBA office to help solve some of these problems and do all this outreach with players, with GMs, with teams. And I think that's definitely helped along the way.
Sam Amick of The Athletic, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors this week with John Dickinson, Ryan Covey. Sam, did you get a chance to hear Kevin Durant, at least the big quote from Durant about Porzingis being in a better spot in Dallas than New York? That was sort of thrown around as, well, he's saying the Mavs are a better landing spot than the Knicks. Did you hear that, and what do you make of that if you did?
I didn't hear that. I saw the tweet about how he didn't want to talk about transactions.
Let me
laugh.
You know what, Sam? Let me play it. Let me play. I'll just play it for you. We got about 23 seconds here, and we'll let you just react to it real quick. We'll go ahead and play it for you right now.
I play basketball for the Warriors, and my main concern is to be the best basketball player I can be every day. I have no concern about what trade moves or transactions throughout the season with other teams. That does not concern me at all, and it has nothing to do with me. I'm glad Porzingis is in a better spot, you know, for him in Dallas, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and Luka playing together for years to come.
So, that's the gist of it. Obviously, kind of the canned response initially, but then he gives his opinion on Porzingis and his future with the Mavs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna dial down, I guess, my own hot take meter on that one. I mean, for him to say, you know, he's in a better place for him, I think, is the key distinction that shouldn't be overlooked. Kevin, like so many other people, knows that Porzingis was not happy in New York. He was not buying into the program. He didn't like what they were doing. I'm going to go ahead and say I think there's enough of a distinction there. That's not, in my opinion, any kind of universal commentary from Kevin on the Knicks. It's more a case of, you know, that's what happened with Porzingis. It went sour. Everybody knew it. And it's funny, even yesterday I had people criticizing the Pelicans in the context of the Knicks, saying at least the Knicks were smart enough to know when a situation was going south and they got ahead of it and they did a deal and they moved on,
right,
as opposed to the Pelicans. So I think that's probably, you know, the way Kevin's looking at it.
Sam, great stuff as always. We really appreciate the time and enjoy the weekend. I know you're not completely off. You're still keeping an eye at everything and probably working on something, but we appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you, guys. Congrats again, Ryan. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Sammy. Appreciate it.
All right, Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us here, 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Your reaction to Kevin Durant's comments. We'll get into that coming up here. Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Rolling along on a Saturday, Warriors This Week. It's John Dickinson. It's Ryan Covey in for Matt Steinmetz here until 1 o'clock, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Mark Medina is going to join us. Mark is in Charlotte for the All-Star festivities. Mark, of course, of the Bay Area News Group and fine contributor you hear here on the regular on 95.7 The Game. So he's going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. We got some time for some phone calls as well at 888-957-9570. And that's where Greg in San Francisco checks in. Greg, you're up first here on 95.7 The Game this segment on Warriors This Week. What's up, Greg?
Yeah, thanks, JD and Ryan. Yeah, I want to comment a little bit on Porzingis. And the only other thing I'd say about Steve Kerr, good coach, but I still don't like his no-reach defense. That's how you're going to stop, Harden and Westbrook. You know, you got to get in their grill at the point of attack. I really have to say that about that. You got to try and, steal the ball from the man and give him and hassle him up top. But Porzingis, it's ridiculous. This man is shooting that many three-pointers. The Knicks, other teams, some big guys can shoot the three a little bit. You know, Cousins maybe a little. But, man, this guy could be a dominant inside player.
Wait, who are you talking about, Greg? I just want to make sure.
Porzingis.
Okay, well, Porzingis isn't even playing at all right now.
Yeah, I know. But when he does play, I've seen him play, and he half the time he's sitting on that perimeter shot, and to me that's absurd, But I just kind of want to make that comment, Warriors fan, and go Warriors in the playoffs, and enjoy your show, guys.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the phone call. Greg in San Francisco, check it in. I mean, Porzingis isn't shooting from anywhere right now.
No, Porzingis is rehabbing right now. Look, all big men want to shoot threes, right? And all guards want to be able to attack the cup and throw it down like Olajuwon. So that's kind of the modern day NBA, especially with the popularity of the 3-point shots, how we say, and everybody wanting to be that prototypical stretch four these days. All the big fellas think they can shoot threes. I've actually been pretty impressed. We talked a little bit about DeMarcus. I've been pretty impressed with DeMarcus's 3-point shooting. I know the guy's a step slow right now, and the Warriors have had to downshift a little bit. But I think Boogie, it's going to take time. But you need the guy for what? 15 critical minutes a night? I mean, seriously.
Probably closer to 25.
When the critical point of the game, the loss of Damian Jones, you're right, definitely accentuates the need to have him out there and to take some of that onus off Draymond. But I know we'll get into this a little bit later on, too. But that's what the buyout market's for. Just give me an old bruiser, man. They missed that Zaza type. I mean, if you think about it, look at last year, they had all these fives. They had JaVale. They had Zaza. They had D. West who could play the five. Draymond. Like, except for Draymond, all those guys are gone now. And then, Damian Jones is hurt too. So it's definitely an area of need. But for Cousins, you got four other All-Stars in the starting lineup. He doesn't need to do a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah, a couple things about Cousins, and we can get into it a little bit now. I mean, I think he's looked far more comfortable on the perimeter offensively than he has inside.
100%.
I mean, his game inside, and we've talked about this a lot on some of the post-game shows, it just doesn't look like the mind and the body are on the same page as far as the move that he wants to make and when he wants to make it and how he wants to execute it. And then he's also, I think, a half step, slow in terms of his explosion to actually get up, which is causing him to miss some shots inside that he would ordinarily make when he does get them off and make, the right move at the right time. So I think he just looks comfortable when he's out on the perimeter and he gets the ball kicked to him and he can just, launch a three,
which is
something that, he's been able to do increasingly better throughout the course of his career. The one thing I did want to get into, because it sounds like we're on opposite sides of this as far as if you've got the one roster spot to go. Mm-hmm. To me, if you've got DeMarcus Cousins, you don't need another big man. And if you bring another big man in, you're almost you're almost insulting DeMarcus Cousins a little bit, who was brought in to, yes, be in some sense a role player, but a guy that believes he's working his way toward playing 30 to 32 minutes a game from where he is right around now, 24, 25. I can see where the Warriors maybe want an insurance policy, and it sounded like they want a big over a wing. I just keep coming back to the fact that if you're going to add somebody, to me you need a wing player because you have Cousins, because you know that Looney's going to get his minutes, mm-hmm. and Cousins is working his way back up. To me, if you need an insurance policy, you need an insurance policy that leads you toward not having to play Alphonso McKinney meaningful minutes in playoff games if a guy like Iguodala or Livingston are out. To me, that's where you may find yourself getting bit, as opposed to, well, you don't have another big man, or you need a Robin Lopez or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's at the end of the day, it is funny to quibble about what the 13th roster spot for the Golden State Warriors, just in general, because
15th, really.
The 15th,
but active.
Yeah, exactly. Because look, how deep are they going to go in the rotation in the playoffs anyway? And you're right. What you want to do is set it up for the postseason run, and what kind of insurance policies do you have? The problem is, should DeMarcus re-aggravate that injury or miss a spell, then you're back to Draymond Green and Kevon Looney, who neither one of them are physically equipped to play all those minutes at the five. I think you do Draymond a disservice if you put him there. And really, Looney, as a backup, if you want to go a little smaller, that's fine. And trust me, I love Kevon Looney and where his game has gone and how he's made himself such a part of this rotation and endeared himself to Kerr and made himself such a valuable piece of the Warriors. But I do think Cousins is your biggest question mark as far as health goes. And your point's well taken with Iguodala and Livingston being a little older. I actually think McKinney's not a bad option. I with his defense, you don't need McKinney to do a ton of scoring. Yeah, he's a G League story.
You don't until you do, though. That's kind of my thing. Like, you like McKinney in the current role if you have Livingston and Iguodala and you can play him maybe 4 minutes a half or
right.
4 minutes a game maybe in a playoff series. My concern would be if you get in that position where Iguodala's out or Livingston's out, and it's the middle of a playoff series, and all of a sudden McKinney's got to somehow play 18 to 20 minutes a game just because you need the bodies, and that's where he can maybe kill you.
Yeah, I probably think a little more of McKinney's game than that. I think he's shown the propensity. I mean, his mid-range game is okay. He's decent around the basket. I think he's overachieved for what you could ever possibly expect to get out of a guy like Alphonso McKinney. And I think he fits this system well. What I like about McKinney, and this holds true for Looney as well, they know what they know, but more to the point, they know what they don't know, and they know what they don't excel at. And I don't see Alphonso McKinney trying to outkick his coverage, as it were, and try and do too much. I think with just going back to Boogie for one moment, first of all, I've gone through that injury, the Achilles injury, and it is beyond debilitating, and obviously I'm no professional athlete, but what I can tell you is the committing to jumping up in the air and going all in physically and trusting that your body will react the same way that it did pre-injury, that's a leap of faith that Cousins, every time he uses that tendon and every time he jumps and elevates, he's going to have that wonder in the back of his mind. Is this thing going to roll up on me again? Is it going to snap again? And that'll take some time for him to get over. And I just think having some type of backup plan for him, even if you want to give him, you know, a little maintenance day, or, hey, we've got 3 games in 5 days and I, you know, we just don't feel comfortable playing Cousins all these minutes. Because let's face it, down the stretch, if they've got their playoff positioning solidified to the point where, you know, they know they're the 1 seed, maybe the 2 seed, maybe Denver's pushing them, but you shouldn't have to ride DeMarcus Cousins down the stretch, and you just bring in a guy like a Lopez or whoever to just take up those minutes. And that way, DeMarcus Cousins, when you need him the most, come playoff time, especially if there's a matchup with a big that you think he can be best served, that's when you deploy DeMarcus Cousins. And I just think McKinney is totally serviceable for what they would require of him, even if Andre Iguodala went down. There's a reason why these guys are backup players. They're role players. They're not as good as Iguodala, but, I mean, any team in the NBA is going through that.
Warriors this week at 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey, Mark Medina scheduled to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Let's get a couple of calls here, though, before we get to Mark. Dave in San Jose is up here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, when I think about Durant next year, I keep going back to that quote he made about the statues in front of the Chase Center. And I know our athletes are self-absorbed and they look at the world through their own glasses, but even Durant has got to know that if he never plays a game in the Chase Center, he's not getting a statue in front of it. And so is there any chance, one option I don't hear people much discussing, is that he simply just opts in next year and takes that 1 year, so he gets his year in the Chase Center, and then, because what I'm thinking is, if he does that, we got to go through all this again next year with all this drama and speculation. Just interested what you guys might think about that.
Thanks. Dave. I don't think it's actually that crazy. I think he could do it one more time. The only thing and reason against it is every year you do a one, as you get into your 30s, you know, one and one, you know, you're one injury away from not getting that 5 year supermax.
Sure.
You know, contract from somebody, or 4 year max contract from somebody if he goes elsewhere. So I could see him doing it one more time and us going through the whole thing again next year. I don't think he's made up his mind, Ryan. I really don't.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I've come down on this as well. He doesn't know yet. And I mean, maybe he has, but I think Kevin Durant, he's a guy that is kind of living in the moment, and he wants to see how the rest of the season plays out, both on the court and in that locker room, and how these guys are feeling at the end of the season. I don't really think that the notion of having a statue outside of Chase Center one day, I don't think that is any kind of motivation for him one way or another. You know what secures legacies? Like three-peats and, you know, being a part of four and five, being a part of a dynasty. And these guys, if you want to talk about the modern athlete and you know, how self-aware they are, you know, about their place in history, the Warriors, as a group, they understand that better than anybody. And I was talking to Rick Barry a couple of months ago, and it was almost like he was pleading to the players to keep this thing together because they have such a chance to do something special. And I think part of Kevin Durant will realize, while he might be getting pulled in a couple different directions, if you want to be regarded as one of the greatest players to ever play the game, stick with this collection of fellow great players. And you guys could, I mean, think about where this thing could go. I mean, Curry's still young enough. Draymond, Clay. These guys could be the class of the NBA for what, JD? The next 4 years?
Yeah,
at least?
I would say at least 2 to 3.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so we'll say 3. Think about where we could be in 2022 with this team. Think about how special that run could be. Then you're talking, what, Auerbach Celtics, Jordan's Bulls. I mean, step right up. The Showtime Lakers. You're among the elite of the greatest teams to ever play the game. They're not quite there yet, but they could get there. And if you're talking about legacies and statues and these guys being so aware of that, what better place to accomplish that mean than right here? It's all right in front of you.
Before we get to Mark Medina, let's get to Nick in Belmont. Nick, you're on 95.7 The Game on Warriors this week. A little conversation about that 15th roster spot. Hey, Nick.
Hey, thanks, JD. So I was just kind of listening to what you guys are saying, and I think you kind of, in a way, put it, but I think it's a different way, is I think there's less of a need for a big, more so because of the value that DeMarcus brings and what he can do, as opposed to what he can't do, what his limitations are. He actually adds something to this roster that all those previous other banger bigs, so to speak, never really brought. So I think I am on your side as far as a wing. The thing I am concerned about, though, is I'm not sure how much of a market is even left as far as the free agent buyout market. So even some of those wings that you would have liked, like a Wayne Ellington or a...
Yeah, Matthews is gone.
Exactly. I just kind of think those are the types of wings that are you know, good NBA vets that are proven shooters and proven just generally good veteran basketball players that, you know, I don't even know what, you know, maybe another two-way player or something. I don't even know if that's worth it. If you're looking at Robin Lopez versus something like that, I mean, I guess that's where you go just because of availability. But I think I'm with you, is I'd rather find some sort of semi-established wing.
Thanks, Nick. I think Nick brings up a real good point, the fact that market is drying up a little bit. And, of course, anybody that signed has to be signed by March 1st to be eligible for the playoffs, and that's the whole point of adding somebody to that mix. Let's get to our next guest. It is the one and only Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group, covers the Warriors, and he is coming to us from Charlotte here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, you are on Warriors this week with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey in here for Matt Steinmetz today. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Ryan. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, brother. Looking forward to it. Let's roll, baby.
Likewise. Let's do it.
Mark, give us the vibe of Charlotte after the last couple of All-Star weekends in Los Angeles and New Orleans, and what? It was Toronto before that. What's the vibe, comparatively speaking, between those last few and what's going on this weekend in Charlotte?
Yeah, I mean, it's overcast, it's raining. It's not as cold as Toronto, but it's not as sunny as L.A. But as far as just what's going on, you know, Steph Curry may as well be called the host of Charlotte, even if, you know, the Hornets franchise is here, and Michael Jordan's the owner, and Kemba Walker is an all-star. I mean, Steph's been making the rounds. Like, he and his family, refurbished a convention center yesterday and held a clinic there, and then he went up to Davidson last night to the game and, you know, had some fun in the student section. He's going to try to place bets with his brother Steph in three-point contest. Basically, the loser of tonight's game is going to have to pay for all future ticket requests. And I would think that's a pretty hefty sum, considering they get a lot of demands on that. And then the other thing that was interesting with the media availability today is, you know, Kevin Durant was one of the other guys, and inevitably, much to his dismay, he was asked about free agency, but he didn't go off on anyone. He answered the questions, you know, I think in more of a political manner. It's not like he's given any clues on where he's going to go, but he seemed to play the game a little bit better than he did after that memorable press conference a few weeks ago in Oakland.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Mark, to that end about Durant. It seems to me the best course of action, if he wants to deflect attention, just give the same answer every time. I'll discuss free agency at the appropriate time. Right now, I just want to help this team win another title. Yeah, but KD, what about Porzingis? I'll discuss free agency at the appropriate time. Right now, I just want to help this team win another title. I mean, you're in that media group that talks to KD when he's made available. If he went that route, at some point, you guys would stop asking, right? I mean, wouldn't that be his best course?
Yeah, and I mean, I think he's gone on both ends where, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to open the season that he kind of talked openly about what he was going to factor in and that sort of thing. And then, you know, when the Knicks were in town, you know, he talked about what he thought of the team and he took all these questions, you know, kind of with a grain of salt and said, I get it. Like, it's part of the business. People care about it. And then he kind of went the other way where, you know, obviously as we mentioned about the press conference a few weeks ago, he kind of got irritated about all these questions. I think in fairness, I understand why it can become annoying, but at the same time, I think what needs to be cleared up, and I know John has done a good job of this, but I have to emphasize over and over again, we're not badgering Kevin Durant about free agency every day or after every practice or game.
Right.
There's certain pivot points during the season where the free agency component is a topic of conversation. And it's not even, oh, what are you going to do in the summer? It's, for example, media day. How does the team handle that uncertainty? How does he handle that uncertainty? Obviously, when the Knicks are in town, you know, Knicks writers and Warriors writers are going to wonder what he thinks of the state of the team and the franchise and their efforts to try to recruit them. And so after that, the only times it was ever then again brought up was the Draymond blow up because Draymond himself talked about free agency. And then it went silent until the Porzingis trade. And the reason why people wanted to ask Kevin Durant about it wasn't so much of, does this mean you're going to the Knicks? It's more of, what do you think of a team doing these kind of moves with the thought process that they want to have a better chance to get you this summer? So I think when you look at it from that realm, it's not even like getting defensive of, oh, I'm a media member, but it's just factually incorrect, this narrative that we're badgering about free agency and where he's going to go. It couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, Mark, what did you make of his answer about Porzingis being in a better place? Because he did say, hey, I play for the Warriors. I'm not getting into the Knicks. But then he said, yeah, Porzingis is in a better place for him in Dallas. I know that started to make the rounds a little bit and get slightly misconstrued as him saying the Mavs are a better landing spot than the Knicks are. What did you make of that answer?
Yeah, I think, you know, Kevin speaks openly and freely and maybe doesn't always think, okay, how will this be interpreted? What Kevin meant by that is he's talking about the player empowerment. Like, he, as well as any other NBA player, they think it's very important for them to be able to kind of have a say in their future and, you know, exercise the right to leaving teams, you know, via free agency or if something's not good, requesting a trade. So that's where he was coming from. He was speaking out in support of Porzingis, and hey, if he decided this wasn't the right place for him as a fellow colleague in the league, he's happy that he's in a better place. But he wasn't comparing, you know, the Knicks and the Mavs and what that pertains to him.
Yeah.
I think he was just trying to send a message of support to the guy he called a unicorn.
No doubt. Hey, I want to ask you this, Mark. While it is advantageous that the All-Star break is coming with only 25 games left, and I know Kerr talked about that's terrific, having it a little bit later, for guys like Curry, who are so in demand this weekend, and he's kind of the unofficial host of all of this, and what about him just getting some downtime, getting some rest while there's, you know, so many other players around the league are getting basically a week off. Here's Curry with still so much demand, and he's only going to end up getting, what, about 48 hours off? I mean, do you get the sense that he needs a little bit of a break, and what does that mean to him the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure by the end of this weekend he's going to be tired out, but right now I think he's just enjoying it. And he was making a joke that he's the Energizer Bunny. Like, he's fully wanting to take advantage of the fact that he's in his hometown. Everyone wants to see him. He doesn't want to, like, let this moment pass by. But as far as what this means, you know, after the All-Star break, to your point, they're going to have 2 days off. I think they're scheduled to have practice Wednesday evening. So that actually kind of buys them almost a half a day. But I can't even imagine that these next few practices this week will be that strenuous. I think it'll be more focused on some of the young guys and, you know, them getting a chance to recharge a little bit and getting them back acclimated, as well as DeMarcus Cousins, because his, you know, workload's probably going to increase after being able to rest the Achilles for a little bit and charge up. But as far as, you know, Steph and to a lesser extent, KD and Clay, I can't imagine that Steve's going to put them through the ringer. But to Steve's point earlier about practice, he said, like, if you can't get through our practices, you should retire. They're pretty light to begin with.
Yeah, final question for you, Mark. Something we've been throwing around here for weeks, and a caller actually brought up an interesting point. It's that whole debate on the 15th roster spot, a big versus a wing. Are there really any wings available right now that are all that intriguing?
I can't think of any, because Wesley Matthews and Wayne Ellington are off the board. It's the ultimate luxury that, like, that's the pressing questions for the Warriors.
Totally.
What do they do with their 15th roster spot?
Yeah, right. Might not even be active on game night, but
right.
Here we are.
I think what's happening here is it's two things. They're waiting to see if the Bulls will finally be willing to buy out Robin Lopez so they can get him as a backup center. But if not, I wouldn't be surprised if they leave that roster spot open just to cover themselves in case there's an injury later in the season and it's not as hard to have to worry about, you know, replacing that person or cutting someone. You know, you may recall a few years ago when they did that with Jose Calderon, and then
they went and got Matt Barnes.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they need to get Matt Barnes. And then, you know, last year they had to waive Omri Caspi because Quinn Cook was playing really well and Omri is hurt, and, you know, they need another guard to go into the playoffs. Here, having the open roster spot helps, but I think that they're also of the mind that if you have even more flexibility, it'll, you know, help them even more. But I think the larger point is they're waiting out for Robin Lopez, and then they'll go from there.
Mark, enjoy the rest of the weekend in Charlotte. We appreciate you taking a few minutes out to speak with us.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, appreciate it, man.
All right, Mark Medina, Bay Area News Group, joining us here, 95.7 The Game. Warriors this week rolls on with JD and Covea, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, rolling along here, just about halfway through on a Saturday. Warriors this week, John Dickinson, Ryan Covey is in for Matt Steinmetz this week. Matt will be back, he'll be back next week right here on 95.7 The Game. I think Steiny back actually Thursday when the Warriors are back in action. So you're going to be with Guru Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think 10 to 2, right?
A yes, sir.
Extended slot. As some people shuffling around with a lot of vacation and the like the next couple of days. But you're also going to be on tomorrow morning. So we should let everybody know, listen in, get your Ryan Covey fix tomorrow, 8 until noon, right?
Correct,
here?
Yep, 8 a.m. to noon. So if you're riding around running errands, just give us a listen. And no, this is great, man. And just if I could just say quickly, Thanks to everybody at 95.7. So many people have reached out to me in the last couple of days when I was so excited to let everybody know that I was coming over here. And just obviously Matt and Danny, the management here, just thank you. And I'm just looking forward to getting to work, man. I'm a worker. I love this stuff. I'm a sports fan like everybody else. So let's talk about it and let's do it, baby.
Absolutely. And it's great to have you. And you'll be on again. Let everybody know tomorrow. And you'll be spreading your wings.
No doubt.
I'm sure you'll be talking a lot of baseball. Bryce Harper still hasn't signed.
Who's Bryce Harper?
Yeah, exactly.
No, looking forward to
spring
that, man.
Spring training upon us, and you know, the NFL is never outside of the conversation, especially in this market, especially when you have a team that's trying to go from bad to good the way the San Francisco 49ers are trying to do right now. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We are with you until 1 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Bontemps is going to join us at 11:30, and then Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors. No All-Star break for him, at least as it pertains to us. He's going to join us at 12:30 here on 95.7 The Game. We'll get his thoughts on just where the Warriors are at right now with 25 games to go. You know, we were talking with Sam Amick earlier and then Mark Medina about the placement of the All-Star break. And the thing that I always come back to is the fact that the All-Star break isn't built for, you know, the Phoenix Suns of the world. The All-Star break isn't built for the team that is 11-48 right now,
no.
You know, 59 games in with 23 games to go to get them over the hump toward the end of the year. The end of the year is already there,
right?
If you're the Phoenix Suns. The All-Star break is built for teams like the Warriors, frankly, where it's about halfway through for a team that's going to go on a long playoff run where you get to about the 25-game mark to go, and then you may play anywhere between 20 to 25 playoff games.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that they push back the start of the NBA season a little earlier in October. No problem on my end for giving me a little longer of an NBA season. I know some people lament the 82-game schedule. I am not one of those people.
See, I love the 82-game schedule.
Yeah.
And I actually have been a proponent of going to an 84-game schedule, believe it or not.
Oh, is there a symmetry thing there for you?
Two extra games.
Right.
Yeah, it's OCD. It's actually schedule symmetry, not to bore you with all that. But you can play, like, you could play your own division six times.
Sure.
You could play the other two divisions three times. And then you could play everybody in the other conference two times.
And it all works out.
And it adds up to 84. So it makes it a little more even. And you'd play more games against the Lakers, let's say, or you'd also play more games against the Suns. But you play more games against the Lakers, play more games against Sacramento. I know you're big on this potential Sacramento matchup. So it reduces the travel a little bit, too, because there would be less games where you would be going, you know, let's say, to the teams that are in the San Antonio-Houston division,
sure.
Oklahoma City division. There'd be less games in the other, you know, the Utah-Denver.
More regional matchups.
Division. So it'd be a little bit more regional. But I digress on that. I'm cool with more games. I'm not a fan of the early start. To me, there's plenty of time to get it all in without needing to add another week and start.
Well, the one caveat to that, though, JD, is I went back and looked at this. The Warriors play on Christmas Day every year now because they're the Warriors. They have played the third game in 4 nights. They've been in a stretch where they're playing their third game in 4 days or 4 nights, as it were, 4 out of the last 5 years on Christmas Day. And oftentimes it's against the opposition that comes in well-rested. And for the NBA to be putting on this marquee day of basketball, I mean, it's wire-to-wire hoops, which, you know, for people that want to drink and avoid their families on Christmas, hey, that's a beautiful thing. Or you just maybe got it on in the background. I just think they do themselves a bit of a disservice. I don't want to see fatigue players. I don't want to see guys on a minutes restriction because they've been playing so much basketball. And to that end, I just think rested NBA players are more exciting NBA players. So if you make the season a little bit longer and you give these guys a little bit of rest, because let's face it, you're paying somebody $30 million a year. That's a high-priced commodity right there. And what do with nice things? We take care of them, right?
Yeah, I just look at the schedule every night, and there's a lot of game. There's a lot of nights where there's 3 games and it's 5 games. To me, they protect the integrity of the television contract a little bit too much, and then they because that's the reason that they really needed the extra time.
More games.
Like,
yeah.
You could still pack the games in, and the way they do it, there's a lot of games at the beginning, there's still a ton of games around the holidays, there's a ton of games if you look at the end of the schedule, like there's a ton of games late March,
the run-in, yeah,
the last 2 weeks of March and the first that week and a half, 2 weeks of April before the playoffs start, there's a ton of games all packed in there. So to me, they just, yeah, they give you a little breaks here and there, and there's some extra days here and there, but to me, if you just plan the schedule a little better, you could get all of that in, not overtax, have a better nightly schedule, maybe not protect those national games quite as much, and keep everybody happy, and start it, let's say, November 1st.
Yeah, that's fair. I do love your point about the way that the All-Star break is set up for teams like the Warriors, because you're right. While there's, quote-unquote, 25 games left, the Golden State Warriors could play 25 more games on top of that. So they could literally have 50 games. They're hoping they've got about 50 games. Well, actually, what they're hoping they have,
yeah, they're 40, hoping,
they're hoping,
yeah,
they have 41 games.
Yeah, so they're be 25 they go 16-0.
And then, yeah, 16-0. What, they go 16-1 a couple years ago? So not too far removed from that. But no, you're absolutely right. As far as the way things are set up, I just think it's nice for this team because, you know, they're a little older. They got some guys. And think about this, too. This is part of why I admire the job that Kerr's done and really this group of professionals. And that's exactly what they are, the way they've held this stuff together, because they've played more basketball collectively. You've got whatever team LeBron James has been on, and then you've got the Golden State Warriors. And those two teams have played more basketball. They've played basically a season more than any other team in the NBA, if you want to, you know, basically crunch the last 5 years together. I mean, the Warriors played 2 months longer than everybody. They had the trip to China a couple years ago. So
yeah.
I gave them that hall pass last year for having a bit of a level of, I'm not going to call it disinterest, but definitely some fatigue. And it's hard to convince Draymond and Clay that games in November and December matter more than games in May and June. We all know that's the case. We know games in the playoffs mean a whole hell of a lot more. I think early this year, though, JD, we saw, especially in the beginning, before Curry got hurt, was the way that they hit the ground running this year. I mean, think about the start to this season. It looked like, oh, damn, the Warriors are back to putting teams to the sword again. And then, you know, we had the injuries. We had the KD and Draymond issue. And all of a sudden it was, oh, my goodness, this is NBA reality now. Is the rest of the NBA caught up to the Warriors? Is this what life's going to be like? Are they grinding out wins against the Grizzlies and the Suns? And now the last couple of weeks, and I think there's been a focus on integrating DeMarcus Cousins, but the last couple of weeks with this run, they've been on, what are they, 18-3 in their last 21, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
I think we've seen them kind of recommit themselves to, oh, no. Were you guys wondering who the best team in professional sports is? No, it's us. And now that we've got this break, this is great. Recharge the batteries. Now we got this 25-game run in. Lock up that top seed, and then let's go get that three-peat. And I think they're just positioned so perfectly right now with health, as much rest as can be expected, and just the style of basketball that they're playing right now. I think if you're a Warriors fan, the fact we're talking about the 15th roster spot, and that's the biggest point of conversation.
Yeah, and how does DeMarcus Cousins look?
That's got to be a warm blanket. Just wrap that around you, Warriors fans, and soak it in, baby, because life is good.
Yeah, and the Warriors also with a 2-game lead now over Denver for the top spot in the Western Conference. Denver's still holding on to that 2 seed. They've got a 2-game lead over Oklahoma City, and the Warriors right there with the Milwaukee Bucks, although they've dipped two games behind the Bucks. Those two teams split their season series as far as home court advantage goes for a potential final, so we'll keep an eye on that. And the Warriors, mentioned Denver. The Warriors have already played both games in Denver this year of their four-game slate, so they got Denver coming out here to Oracle a couple of times between now and the end of the season, actually two of those final 25 games. Dan in Concord is up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you guys doing? I got something to say, and hear me out, okay? This is Kevin Durant thing. He said that he wants to go where he gets the most money, okay, which is Golden State. Okay, now, here's another thing. He's being selfish, man. Why don't he just come out and be like Klay Thompson? Hey, I want to be here forever. I want to be here. I mean, why would you want to go to some cesspool like New York or anywhere else when you got the best situation in all the sports right here? That's being selfish, man. I don't know if it's his agent or whatever it is, but come out and say you want to be here. I remember what Rick Barry said. Why would anybody want to leave this? Why would you want to leave this? I don't care what Tracy McGrady and all those haters say. He needs to be right here. This is where his legacy is going to be. I don't care about New York. That's a cesspool. I don't care about all these other places like the Clippers. Come on. Who wants to go to the Clippers? Be real.
Jerry West, baby.
I don't care. I don't care. This is the best place. They're going to go to that Chase Center next year, and he wants to make the most money. He's in the best possible position he could possibly be in to make the most money. Be like Klay Thompson, man. Say you want to be here. Instead of giving us, I mean, this has got to put a big old cloud over the organization and their players. I don't care what anybody says. Raymond's right in a way. I mean, he maybe went about it the wrong way, but come on, man. This is where you need to be, man. This is where you could really make a name for yourself. I mean, why? I don't care what New York says. I don't care about all that garbage. They're always garbage. I mean, come on.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Appreciate the call. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Not as up in arms about it as Dan is there, but his point in a lot of ways is very well taken. I mean, and I was kind of hitting on this earlier. If you're so acutely aware of your legacy, your place in history, wanting to be regarded as one of the all-time greats. Now, I get it. There is that segment out there that said, oh, well, you couldn't do it in Oklahoma City. You had to come join up with the ready-made band. Yeah, and that's modern-day NBA. That's free agency. Was anybody having any pity parties for the Golden State Warriors when they couldn't attract anybody to come to this team for years because they were terrible? No chance. So now that they actually have made this a destination team, and it's because of management, it's because of the rabid fan base that stuck with this team when they were awful, they've created this reality for themselves. So, yeah, they should be applauded for it. And Kevin Durant, look, much like I didn't have any problem with him leaving Oklahoma City as a free agent, which means free to do what you choose, should he exercise that right and go somewhere else? Okay, that would be unfortunate. And part of me would say, well, why would you want to leave this? But again, that would be his right. But I think it would be unfortunate because think about what they could do here. I mean, why would you want to leave this? And what Dan's talking about there, I totally agree. The only thing that I could think of would be you're not feeling some of the guys around. And that would suck because think about what they could do here the next 4 years.
Yeah, and I think new challenge is another big part of it too, though, because I think at times we tend to look at the Warriors situation just with the ultimate in rose-colored glasses. It's fair to do it. It's right to do it.
You know, I hear what you're saying.
You win three in a row, fans want to win four in a row. They want to win five in a row. They want to win six in a row. You know, they want to win eight in a row. And I think sometimes players, especially a guy like Kevin Durant, who the narrative was he came to Golden State to take the easy way out, to stockpile a couple of rings, to play number two to Stephen Curry, yet help them get over the top
by with his two finals MVPs.
With his two finals MVPs. I mean, look, the Warriors needed him. They both needed each other. There's no doubt. But when you look at how that all played out, I think there could be a piece of Kevin Durant that's thinking, okay, I did that. I helped. Now it's time to go cement my legacy in a different way, and that is let's build something from the ground up a little bit. Similar to maybe what LeBron's trying to do with the Lakers. Like, go where there's some young pieces in a big market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.